Are you tired of boring traditional weddings? Do priests and sacraments get you down? If this sounds like you, then come to
Macho Man Ski Resort
this weekend to witness the wedding of our founder, Jay Hart, to the world record holder for longest unconscious slalom, Dave Cox. And Jay Hart is having serious second thoughts. Marriage isn't for everyone. Dave isn't for everyone. This is a cry for help. Help!
Macho Man Ski Resort is not liable for the eventual divorce of the married couple, for the event in which Jay Hart's estranged brother does not appear and predictably fails in his commitments to those close to him, or for any murder-suicides that might occur.
Wedding bells are ringing. See you on the slopes.
Don't worry. Episode 6. Jovi gets married?
Cannonball!
It was Dave's bath time. Even on the morning of his wedding to Jovi, his time in their custom-built his-and-hers jacuzzi was sacrosanct. Wanting to smell his best for the wedding, he had even tried a new Axe body spray-scented bath bomb. He splashed around in the pitch-black water, playing with his rubber ducky.
Hey, honey! Is that you hiding in the doorway? I could really use a Pop-Tart. I'd make it, but I gotta really simmer in the bath bomb if I want to smell strong enough. I'd toast it in here, but last time I tried using a toaster in the bath, the toast was so good that I think I went to heaven for a minute. But those babies with wings told me they'd give me a second chance if I promised to keep electrical appliances far away from the water. Also, yeah, we're getting married today.
About that.
She stepped up to home plate.
You know, Steve?
Steve?
We're having an affair.
He was silent. Pensive, even. This unnerved Jovi.
You're having an affair? With sleaze?
Yep.
Jovi stared at Dave. She waited for a reaction, to see where the ball would land, hoping for a home run.
Just like you suspected. You were right the whole time. I really betrayed you. Bet you don't want to marry me now.
But the home run never came. Dave caught the ball in his mitt.
I forgive you.
What?
I forgive you, Jovi.
No. This is the part when you tell me to pack my bags and then I go and then we don't get married. It's done. It's not happening.
You were honest. Honesty is the best policy. Aisha said so in couples counseling, remember?
It's Steve. You hate Steve.
Joves, baby, you don't have to worry. We're perfect for each other. I'd never leave someone who takes care of me so good. And you know what? Dave's never gonna leave you.
Never?
Literally.
The ump called it. Jovi had struck out.
Wait a minute. I'm not supposed to look at you before the wedding. It's bad luck. But I look at you all the time, because you're my smoking hot fiancé. Oh, God!
He shut his eyes tightly and tried to scramble out of the jacuzzi. He slipped and hit his head on the rim of the tub as he went down.
I'll get the first aid kit. And if you see the squirrel again, you're concussed. Don't follow it anywhere.
She looked at her fiancé, lying face down, naked in a puddle on the tile, smelling like a middle school locker room. And she murmured to herself,
"Till death do us part."
Somewhere in rural California, Lucas and Aisha continued on their long journey home from Dr. Amelia's office in Stanford. They'd spent the whole night there, and the sun was still low in the sky.
Felicidades.
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 Lucas, I'm all for education, but I would really appreciate it if you put some headphones on.
I'm practicing my speech for the wedding.
You're going to the wedding?
Yeah. I want to be there for her, be her big brother, you know, now that I'm cured.
It was at that moment when Aisha realized something. Lucas thought that Dr. Amelia had in fact removed his power. This, of course, never happened. Amelia's promise was a lie. They had left in a hurry. Lucas was still wearing his hospital gown, and, in his post-simulation days, hadn't actually asked whether the procedure was a success or not. He simply assumed. Aisha wasn't about to correct him.
Yes, you're cured.
He smiled at her. He looked more unburdened than she had ever seen him. He looked free.
I'm happy for you.
Now that she'd done it, Aisha was riddled with guilt for selling Lucas out to the FBI. Lucas did not know this transaction had occurred, That parasite called a conscience spoke up in Aisha's mind again, that awful voice which sounded like an omniscient Orson Welles impersonator. She knew it was only a matter of time until her actions caught up with the two of them. So the voice told her, once again, to be nice.
Maybe he's not the good guy you thought he was. Are you sure you want to save him?
How long could she keep this up? Price, Grimes, and Georgie were still locked in the bathroom of the Stanford Neuroscience Health Center.
Let me do it! I'm the real FBI agent here!
Not for long. I have you in the palm of my hand. Let me do it!
They were squabbling over who would get to open the door and free them.
No, it's mine!
You sad little man! I could crush you in my fist like an apple! Give it to me.
Using the most efficient method that their combined brain power could generate.
It's my government-issued weapon!
Which was to shoot the door handle off.
Give me the gun.
You know what, Grimes? You tried on Daddy's big boy pants and played pretend. It was cute, but playtime is over. I am in charge. I am Daddy.
That's not what Braylon told me.
Stay away from my wife, you bastard. Stand back.
He drew his gun and cocked it, aiming it at the handle.
And cover Georgie's ears.
Price stormed into the heart monitor's destroyed control room. He pushed through throngs of panicking grad students, many of whose theses had just died in the water. Grimes followed, briskly wheeling Georgie. They approached Dr. Amelia, who sat at an abandoned desk, calmly scribbling on a sheet of paper.
Where's Lucas Hart?
You just missed him.
What?
I said you just missed him. Gosh, you guys are loud.
Grimes elbowed past Price and struck a confident pose.
Dr. Amelia, I believe you promised me a promotion?
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Without looking up, she tossed him a Ziploc bag. Grimes caught it hungrily. Inside was a shiny new FBI badge and an ID naming him, at long last, Special Agent Grimes.
Thank you! I mean, as I expected.
That's not fair! There's a murderer on the loose and you put him in charge?
Fellas, I think we have the same goal here. You see a murderer, I see a powerful asset. Either way, we want him in safe hands. And it's all for Uncle Sam.
I don't work for nerds.
Sure, but if you think that was a promotion, there's an election coming up.
You don't mean...
What do you want, Democrat or Republican? I'm friends with both. I could get you the nomination.
Price and Grimes eyed each other. The two of them had just stepped onto a new battlefield to decide which one of them would get stuck as vice president.
Mm-mm-mm.
She motioned to Georgie.
And who are you?
Our local HOA representative.
Huh. What about you?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Libertarian. I can do that. All right. Have we got a deal?
Yes, ma'am.
Now you're thinking different. Happy to have the FBI on board because we're going to need to escalate. You have no idea what Lucas Hart can do. Be thankful Aisha's smart enough not to tell him what his power really is.
What is it?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Nah, let me finish the research paper first.
She spun around in her chair and flashed them a grin.
All right, I know where to find Lucas. His sister owns a ski resort. You guys would like it. It's masculine. She's getting married today. I saw a really sad commercial on TV about it.
What do you need from us?
Force. And... gosh, I'm usually asking for other people, but I stayed up all night. I need coffee. Would you two be so kind?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for your labor.
Price and Grimes sulked away towards the coffee machine. Amelia cracked her knuckles.
Okay, Aisha. Game time.
Jovi was playing with her veil in her hallway mirror, pretending she was going to a funeral instead. Her funeral.
What do you want? These Jehovah's Witnesses can sense my premarital sex.
Jovi opened the door and was blasted with an olfactory assault of sweet cologne, almost as bad as Dave's Axe body spray. In front of her stood a scruffy man with a scraggly beard, like Tom Hanks's in Castaway. From behind the scent and the beard peered a familiar face.
Jesus, did you just get back from a 3-hour tour? Steve, what happened to you?
Call off the wedding.
I tried.
What do you mean you tried?
I told him about the affair.
You told him?
He wants to work things out.
You can't get married to him.
I tried to call it off.
Well, keep trying.
I'm trying everything I can. I'm showing him how terrible I am, but nothing's working. And I don't know.
What?
Dave needs me. That man would not survive on his own. That is our entire relationship. I take care of him. I clean him up. I bandage him. I lay him down on the couch and put cartoons on the TV. He would explode in 5 minutes if I wasn't there to pour him another glass of orange juice. And he's silly. And he makes me laugh. I call him my human CPR doll. And Dave is never gonna leave me. He really loves me, so it's not like I'm marrying him for no reason. You came second. That is only fair.
Is it?
Yep.
I think a certain someone would have something to say about that.
Please don't talk about yourself in the third person.
No, I mean, our little one.
He tried to place a hand on her stomach. She jerked away.
I've been thinking long and hard about it, and I think I'm ready for fatherhood. Parenthood. With you.
I think there's been a slight, humongous miscommunication here. Let's just back up a few huge baby steps. You think it's yours?
Well, whose else would it be?
Dave's!
Oh, okay, well, we did.
Stop right there. This is not Mamma Mia until we add a third guy.
Okay, what do you want to do?
She looked into Steve's bloodshot eyes, hers welling up, and saw the man who took her to the gym every morning, who always made sure she ate, who offered her moments of sanity in the chaos of her world. She saw Steve Smith.
This is stupid. I just want someone to take care of me, for once.
We're gonna figure this out. Whether it's me, or Dave.
Or the third guy.
They whipped around to see Clark standing on the path to Jovi and Dave's house, wearing a suit and tie with his hair slicked back.
Hey, Clark.
Is that Armani?
Naturally. Is that fruit of the loom?
Steve's sweatpants were sagging enough to reveal his boxers.
I'm actually more of a Mac Weldon kind of guy.
Unsurprising. Jovi?
Yeah?
It's time.
Great.
Clark extended an arm. She took it and turned to Steve.
Steve, it's only fair. But then again, if Lucas shows up, who knows if the wedding will even happen?
And?
Well, I'm just saying, if Lucas ruins the wedding, then I don't marry Dave. That's only fair.
You'll only be with me if Lucas shows up to your wedding?
I'm just saying, that would settle it fairly.
Well, I see how it is. You can't decide.
I'm leaving it up to fate.
No, you're not. You know that Lucas isn't gonna show up. Enjoy your life with your child of a husband.
Lucas and Aisha had finally made it back to Macho Man Ski Resort. They'd stopped at a tuxedo rental store on the way. If Lucas was going to ski Jovi down the aisle like he promised, he needed to wear something a bit smarter than a hospital gown. Now, they visited the ski room to grab him a pair.
I haven't skied since I was a kid. Me and Jovi used to go together.
I bet the muscle memory will kick in.
Yeah. Positive thinking. I like positive thinking. Maybe that can be my thing now.
That's a great idea.
He gently placed his hand on her shoulder.
I want to thank you again for everything you've done for me. Honestly, I can't believe it's gone. This might be the best I've ever felt.
You're welcome.
So, I guess the deal is over.
I guess it is.
I got you a following. You got rid of my power. I guess, technically, we never have to see each other again.
Guess not.
Unless you wanted to hang out later at the reception, as friends without any baggage.
Just then, Dave burst into the room in full tuxedo.
Yo, Aisha!
Yo!
They did their secret handshake.
1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. Here's the church, here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Whirl it and mix it and mark it with a beat. And put it in the oven for the baby and me!
They hugged. He turned to Lucas.
Lucas, you came! Bring it in, man!
Dave pulled him into a bear hug.
Now the wedding's gonna be perfect! Literally nothing could go wrong!
In Lucas's absence, Clark had been the backup to ski Jovi down the aisle. He helped her, in her wedding dress and skis, onto the ski lift.
You're doing great, Clarky Clark. You never want to put in the work, and sometimes you don't even show up. You're just like my dad.
I'm younger than you. Ready?
Ready.
Clark gave a thumbs up to the ski lift operator, who pressed the button. But the lift barely moved a yard before stopping abruptly.
Great! You know, I was just thinking, this day couldn't get any worse. And look how far we've come.
Jovi!
Wait a minute.
She craned her neck to look behind her.
My ski lift's broken. My ski lift is broken!
And there he was, running towards the ski lift.
My ski lift is broken!
He finally caught up, with the scam artist following behind him.
Surprised?
He leapt into the ski lift with uncharacteristic vigor.
Oh, hi, Clark. Does this mean I can leave?
An ATV careened around the bend and ricocheted to a halt near them. Its driver, terrifying, was Dave.
Yo, Clark! Aisha! Hop in my bug! We're having my bachelor party on the way up the mountain.
Yeah, sure, the psychic could come. Why not?
Aisha and Clark got into the vehicle. Dave shielded his eyes to make sure he didn't catch a glimpse of Jovi. In fact, he'd been driving with his eyes closed.
Let's go!
They sped away up the mountain.
Shots! 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 Shots!
And Dave, apparently, had hired a photographer. Now, Jovi and Lucas were alone.
I'm here for you, Jovi. And I'm not going anywhere.
I'm glad.
New me. I changed.
Well, that was easy.
You'd be surprised.
They began their ascent up the mountain. The wind picked up, and it began to snow lightly, collecting briefly and then melting on Jovi's veil. There was something in the air. A storm was coming. On the ski lift, Jovi pivoted to a new method of sabotaging her wedding. Lucas.
I am just so scared. You know, scared something's gonna go wrong on the big day.
You'll be fine.
You know, like, me and Dave are pretty objectionable. I bet people are gonna object. Or get food poisoned at the reception. Dave's grandma is totally gonna have a heart attack. I mean, not that. What if we all got attacked by crows? And I'm just spitballing here. What if everything blew up?
Jovi, nothing's gonna blow up.
Okay, that doesn't make me feel any better. What's your heart rate?
I don't know, normal?
Where's your watch?
I don't have it anymore.
Oh my god, why isn't the world ended yet?
I got rid of my power.
Okay, that's really bad timing.
Meanwhile, the traveling bachelor party had made it to the top of Mount Macho, the highest stop on the ski lift from which Dave and Jovi would make their respective grand entrances.
Well, this is where I get off, dudes.
He hopped out of the ATV and pulled on his skis.
See you on the other side of the altar.
Dave perched atop the slope. He kissed both of his ski poles.
Cowabunga!
And he took off down the trail. The wedding photographer followed.
$5, he won't make it down.
Clark took Dave's place in the driver's seat.
I'm getting paid for this, so we'd better get back down to the ceremony. Or not. You hungry?
Wait, Clark. Can we stay up here for a few minutes?
Fine by me.
There's something I need to do.
Back on the ski lift.
What do you mean you got rid of it?
Aisha took me to a doctor who cured me. That's where I was yesterday.
So, you're normal?
Yeah.
Just like that?
It's crazy to me, too.
That's not fair!
Jovi.
That's not fair! 15 years, Lucas. You left me by myself for 15 years. And now the one time your condition was gonna help me ruin everything, you wanna come back and fix things?
I thought you'd be happy. I can be there for you again. You're safe with me.
You think I feel safe now? You really think it's that easy?
I'm different now. Really, I am. I went to therapy.
So did I. For 15 years.
Jovi.
Thick dick!
He grabbed her hand. She instinctively recoiled. He hadn't done that since she was a child.
I want to be in your life again. Please, let me be part of your life.
I'd storm away if I weren't on a ski lift right now.
Am I still skiing you down the aisle?
Yes! But just because it's too late to change that. I'm just confused, Lucas. I don't like this. I can be there for you. Now I can't thing. I can't keep up.
It's gone. Forever. There's no reason for me to leave anymore. We'll be okay.
He hugged her. She flinched again. But it was the kind of hug she had missed for a long time.
Okay. I guess that settles it. I'm getting married. You showed up. I'm getting married.
Lower down the mountain, at the wedding ceremony, the guests watched the ski slope for any sign of Dave.
Look, there he is!
Yahoo!
At lightning speed, Dave flew by the guests, headed straight for the altar. but collided with someone's leg that was sticking out into the aisle. He tumbled and hit the snow, leaving his beloved leg tree behind him.
Whoa. I'm so sorry.
Dave looked up at the manspreader who had tripped him. The offender was a large, burly man sporting sunglasses, a fedora, and a conspicuous mustache. Next to him sat his apparent wife, whose hair looked suspiciously like a wig from Party City, and a man in a full-body cast wearing a propeller hat.
Let me help you up.
Thanks, man. You have a beautiful family. You must be on Jovi's side.
Papa l'Americano.
My dad's American, too. But I can meet him later. Give me a push.
The Italian man complied, and with a shove, Dave made it down to the altar.
Joves! I'm ready!
Lucas and Jovi finally reached the top of the mountain on the ski lift. They got out and prepared to make their way to the ceremony, until they saw...
Aisha? What are you doing here?
Who invited you to my wedding?
Lucas, I have something to tell you. I lied to you.
Okay, could you two please have your domestic squabble somewhere else? I'm trying to get married.
This can't wait. Lucas, Dr. Amelia didn't get rid of your power. You still have it.
Aisha watched a little bit of light leave his eyes.
Lucas.
I'm still not leaving. Positive thinking. This can work. We have strategies. I learned to manage it.
The ski lift cable snapped, sending the chair tumbling onto the mountain below.
I'll manage it. I'm not leaving.
Lucas, this news is a lot of stress for you. Everyone at the wedding is at risk. Everyone needs to leave. And people are coming. People you do not want as wedding guests.
Aisha, I believe in myself. You believe in me? I can do it. I'm just gonna ski Jovi down the aisle.
He felt his heart rate pick up. Without his watch, he had no way to regulate it. He'd never learned how.
And there's something else.
The whole audience stood and waited for Jovi, but there was no sign of her on the trail.
Jovi! It's your cue!
Do you trust me?
Of course I trust you.
Good. Then just breathe. I'm gonna tell you something.
What is it?
His heart raced.
Lucas, we were wrong about your power. That's what Dr. Amelia was trying to figure out. She showed me the truth. You don't manifest the things you're afraid of, Lucas.
Yes, I do! I've been doing that my whole life. That's why I've been alone. You don't need proof, Aisha. You've seen it. You've seen it!
You don't manifest the things you're afraid of. You manifest what you want. This has all been what you want.
The three of them stood, deadlocked, Aisha and Jovi's eyes fixed on Lucas. He stared ahead at the snow on the ground, and then he walked, wordlessly, to the edge of the slope.
Lucas.
He perched on the edge. There were two slopes. One was a simple path to the wedding ceremony. The other, the one he had chosen, was marked Double Black Diamond.
Lucas, what are you doing?
He looked back at them with a bitter half-smile.
I knew it.
Lucas took off down the trail, leaving his sister behind once again.
Yeah, she's got bridal nerves, and I've got the perfect cure to get her moving.
He motioned for the string quartet to stop playing.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Atomic Possum!
Jovi approached the slope and got into perfect skiing stance. Aisha turned to Clark, who was still in the ATV and rather lost.
Clark, give me your skis.
And Jovi gave chase after her brother, with Aisha not far behind. Jovi could see Lucas ahead of her on the trail.
Lucas! Stop it!
He was clearly struggling even to stay upright. Jovi picked up momentum and kept pace with him.
Lucas, I swear to God, I am going to make you ski me down the aisle if it kills me!
I never should have come back! I knew it all along! I'm a terrible person!
You sound so obnoxious!
He swerved away from her as an enormous pine tree crashed down behind him.
Ah!
She dodged it and kept moving.
Are you trying to hurt me?
I don't know anymore.
A small crevasse opened up between him and Jovi.
You are not going to win this.
She braced herself and jumped over the gap, acing a perfect landing on the other side. Ahead of them came a steep fork in the path. Lucas brought another tree down, forcing them to split up. Jovi went left, and Lucas went right. He'd lost her, but what he didn't account for was...
Hey!
Aisha had caught up and was quickly gaining on him.
Get away from me, because I'm just going to make more bad things happen!
Listen to me!
Georgie, the plane crash, every skiing accident, this just proves that I'm the worst person alive! But everyone knew that already! I suck! Woohoo!
Ever heard of therapy?
At the spot the diverging paths were joined, Jovi shot out from the rock she'd been crouching behind.
You can't get out of this one, Missy! You are skiing me down the aisle whether you like it or not!
I'll ruin the wedding!
Even better! Do this one thing for me and then you can leave for all I care!
At last, the trail opened onto the wedding ceremony.
Joves!
Lucas and Jovi shot down the aisle, arms awkwardly linked. Jovi slid to a clean stop. Lucas was not so graceful, flying head over feet and crashing into the altar.
Ludacris! Are you okay?
He pulled himself off the ground and gave Jovi another bitter smile.
Congratulations, Jovi.
Lucas ski-waddled to the first row of chairs and sat down, crossing his arms. In the back, Aisha coasted to a stop and took an open chair.
Hi, everyone. Sorry I'm late. That's my brother, Lucas, whom most of you have never met. You've probably seen his face on a milk carton, though. I know I certainly have.
Jovi took her skis off and stepped up to the altar. She nodded to the bewildered priest and assumed wedding position, grabbing Dave's hands. He grinned at her goofily and gave her hands a squeeze. She crushed them back.
Friends, we are gathered here today to celebrate the union of Jovi Hart and David Cox.
Sorry, it's just David. Go on.
Actually, Sir Priest, if I can put in my request, I've got marriage ants in my pants and they want to know if we could skip right to the vows so me and Joves can be married as soon as possible.
A bit unconventional. But what do you think, Jovi?
Yeah. Totally, no problem. I was actually wondering if we could skip right ahead to the divorce. Do you do those two?
You don't mean that. What a jokester. All right then, Dave. Repeat after me. I, David Cox...
I, David Cox...
Take Jovi Hart to be my lawfully wedded wife.
Take Jovi Hart to be my lawfully wedded... Oh, no!
Jovi swatted Dave's extensive note cards out of his hands.
Now how am I gonna say my vows?
You just got to repeat after me, son.
You know what, bro? I'll make it easy for both of us. I do!
Now, Jovi, repeat after me. I, Jovi Hart...
You know, maybe it's a little early for speeches, but Dave is just so funny. He told me this great limerick the other day. You guys have got to hear it.
She was filibustering her own wedding.
Remember that one, honey? About the man from Peru?
Ooh, who dreamed he was eating his shoe? He woke with a fright in the middle of the night to find that his dream had come true!
And the best part is, it's autobiographical! He really did that, bless!
Jovi... Just repeat after me.
My brother can do some funny tricks, too. You want to show us some tricks, Lucas?
It was at this moment that Jovi realized Lucas's true power could actually work even more to her advantage.
You want to ruin my day even more? Go crazy!
Lucas threw his arms in the air.
Why not? That's all I'm good for anyway.
Danke schön, mein Bruder.
Jovi?
Sure. I, Jovi Hart, take David Cox to be my lovely wedded husband, to have and hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, in sickness or in health. Can I add entry to love and cherish till death do us part? Yada, yada, yada. We got married. Okay, just be sure, Father. Shouldn't you ask for objections? I mean, just be really sure.
Don't worry, Jovi. That's next.
No.
I'm sure no one will do this. But if anyone objects to the joining of this couple, speak now, or forever hold your peace.
Whoa.
An old woman Jovi had never seen before stood up.
I suspect this ceremony is a shotgun wedding to cover up premarital sex. I hereby disown Jovi Hart.
Thank you. So do I.
I object. I've decided right here and now that when I broke my arm in 1982, years before the birth of Jovi Hart, it was the ski resort's fault. I'm going to sue your pets off.
Yes. Another lawsuit. Keep them coming.
I object.
Mierda.
From the crowd stepped forward a still scraggly Steve, now in his best, most lawyerly suit and tie. He was holding a bouquet of flowers that looked suspiciously like the ones Jovi kept in a vase on her front table.
Jovi, it's not too late. You can still call off the wedding.
Sleaze! Stay away from my fiancé who's about to be my wife!
Jovi, this isn't even about me. It's about you.
Steve, this is so... public.
Really simple question. Are you happy?
This is so public!
Jay?
Put your own oxygen mask on first.
Well, folks, this whole wedding thing seems super controversial, so we might just have to wait out any other bad omens or plagues that might happen.
She turned to Lucas in the front row.
Keep it going!
I can't control it!
You always say that! If you're not gonna change, then bring it on! Show me what you got! Give me your worst! Because I don't want to decide this right now!
And here was Lucas's worst. One, Atomic Possum's amp exploded.
Dude, my amp!
So did the string quartet's instruments.
Dude, my cello.
Two, Dave's elderly grandmother collapsed onto the ground.
Oh my God. I see them! The cherubs!
Grandma!
Three, they all got attacked by crows.
Don't pick me up! I don't want to go to your nest!
Jovi fought her way down from the altar and faced Lucas.
You wonderful man! I hate you so much! Come on, keep it coming! Is that the best you can do?
To answer her question, at that moment, the conspicuous Italian couple in the audience shot up and removed their disguises.
FBI, put your hands up!
Yeah, put them up!
The FBI?!
Wait, what?
They pointed their guns at Lucas, and he raised his hands. He recognized the FBI agents as Officers Price and Grimes of the Ukiadvik police station.
What are you doing here?
Remember me, Mr. Hart? Just a small-town police officer. I let you get away then, but I chased you to the ends of the earth and found you. You cold-blooded killer. You're coming with us.
Remember me? Just a lowly coffee boy with big dreams? Look at me now. I'm the one who actually found you.
Price and Grimes, in case any prospective voters were listening, were already on the campaign trail.
Well, you guys are right.
He held out his hands to be cuffed.
Take me away!
Yeah! Wait. Just like that?
I'm a cold-blooded killer. It's what I deserve.
That proves the efficiency of law enforcement, of which I call for more funding at the federal level. Back the blue.
Price reached for his cuffs.
No, let me cuff him.
Grimes reached for his cuffs.
It was my case first.
Fueled by my coffee.
You were just an assistant.
I was always the brains.
You don't need those to be president. Hey, don't touch me. Why, I oughta.
In their struggle, Price and Grimes had accidentally handcuffed themselves to each other. From behind him, Lucas had just heard a very dear and welcome voice.
Wait a minute.
A voice whose owner had just managed to break through the arm of his full-body cast.
But it can't be!
Grab his oral surgeon issued emergency wire cutters, raised them to his face, and cut his jaw wire, freeing himself to speak.
That sounds like...
The voice of Lucas's former best friend.
You imbeciles!
Georgie?
Yes, it's me, Georgie. What, are you surprised?
I'm so happy to see you. I thought you were dead.
So did I, when that polar bear took me to its cave and tried to feed me to its young.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
And then I had to spend who knows how long getting dragged around the country in this godforsaken cast by our nation's finest. I wake up every morning and drink continental breakfast through a straw. None of this would have happened if you just paid your HOA fees.
Price's and Grimes's jaws were on the ground.
You can talk?
Of course I can talk, you boobs.
This whole time, Lucas had assumed that Georgie Jones was dead. But now, with the confirmation that he had not, in fact, murdered Georgie with his mind, he felt a weight lift from his shoulders. This was a new feeling, one he could run with. Literally. He made a run for it.
Don't just let him get away! I'm not done with him!
But he still couldn't move his legs, so he got to work on the FBI agent's handcuffs with his wire cutters. Lucas ran down the aisle. As he leapt onto the stage and passed the altar, a hand grabbed him and pulled him to the ground. It was Aisha's.
Get down!
He crawled out of view behind the altar table to find Jovi and Dave huddled there too.
Lucas, what is going on? Did you manifest this too?
Dude, did you kill somebody? I won't tell.
I actually didn't, which is a pleasant surprise.
Steve was also there.
Is anyone else really confused right now?
Shh!
Aisha grabbed Lucas by the shoulders.
This isn't the last of them. We need to get out of here. They won't stop at just you.
Wait, but if I didn't kill anybody, then why is the FBI here? And how do you know that?
Because I'm the one who sold you out.
You sold me out?
Yes, I sold you out.
Bro, not cool.
I thought we were.
We can talk about this later. You know what your real power is. Now you can use it to stop them.
I'm not in control of it anymore. It won't work. I'm just gonna make everything worse, like I always do. I'm dangerous.
You know what's really dangerous, Lucas? Someone who's only ever the victim. And you know how I know that? Because I'm a motherfucking therapist.
Lucas looked at the ground.
So what? You're a shitty person. Big deal, so am I. We're all kind of shitty people. That's not going to help us now.
She turned him toward her, made him look her in the eyes.
Save us, Lucas.
I'm sorry, but save us from what, exactly?
They're here.
A trio of black helicopters descended upon Mount Macho, hovering over the ceremony, and bringing with it a black-clad SWAT team, which roped to the ground.
Get on the ground! Away from the weapon!
Leaning out the door of one of the helicopters with a megaphone was Dr. Amelia.
You can come out now, Lucas. You're not in trouble.
Still hidden, Aisha stared at him, her eyes begging him to do something. The SWAT team, heavily armed, was searching the area and quickly closing in on them. Dave, meanwhile, looked lost in thought. Then something hit him.
Lucas, I have an idea. Maybe I can buy you some time.
Really, Lucas, I'm not mad at you. I know confrontation can be hard.
Just then, Lucas stood up and stepped out from behind the altar. The hood of his coat was up, obscuring his face.
Weapon sighted!
Yo! I'm Lucas Hart, Dave's future brother-in-law!
Move!
The SWAT team ran at the decoy, who was still wearing his skis.
Let's hit the slopes!
Dave ski-waddled off the stage and jumped onto the slope behind him, starting down the mountain.
Protocol, Winter Wonderland!
The SWAT officers pulled their government-issued snowboards off their backs and followed their target down Mount Macho. Georgie, meanwhile, had finally cut Price and Grimes free from their handcuffs.
We lost him!
No, you fools! The real Lucas has been over there the whole time! Get him!
Price and Grimes raced toward the altar, both hoping to be the one to catch the current most wanted man in America.
Found you!
They grabbed Lucas by the arms and dragged him up what had formerly been an aisle, where Amelia's helicopter had landed. Two of the remaining SWAT officers grabbed Aisha and followed with her in tow.
Hey!
Dr. Amelia got out of the helicopter and faced her captives. The crows circled high above.
Hey, Lucas. Glad you made it home okay.
You're sick, Amelia. This is sick.
I know, right? Isn't this awesome?
Amelia gestured at Lucas and held the helicopter door open.
Well, Lucas, are you ready to come with us?
It's probably what I deserve.
What do you want with him? And don't give me that World of Tomorrow speech.
He's an asset.
They kept calling me a weapon?
Well, you are. You hurt, you charge, and you detonate. That's what you do, until now. But think about what you could do with real intentionality. You can hurt, yes, but you can heal. Anything you imagine can happen. Think of the incredible things we could achieve together. Not just for the state. Well, yes, for the state. But for humanity. World hunger! You could cure world hunger right now. I hope you just cured world hunger.
But wait, I don't need you for all that. Aisha showed me how to do good with my power.
Of course. That's why we're taking her, too.
Oh, fuck off.
It's not like you're going to jail. We're taking you to Washington. The president wants to meet both of you.
Price's and Grimes' ears perked up.
The president?
Vote him out.
Aisha, this would be the single greatest moment of your career. A perfect antidote for your many, many failures. You would be the face of therapy. Press briefings, nightly news. Think Fauci.
No.
Please?
I'm not going.
Well, now you can't say I didn't ask nicely. Sorry about this.
On her signal, Price, Grimes, and the SWAT officers dragged Lucas and Aisha toward the helicopter. Aisha struggled, but Lucas, resigned, relaxed his body and let them take him.
Hey!
And there she was behind him. No weapons, no defenses, just her wedding dress and bouquet of flowers. Jovi.
Get away from my brother!
Jay Hart! I saw your commercial. You should hop in. You could probably use some therapy, too.
Ha ha ha! Get away from my brother, you asshole!
And she said it in English.
I'm sorry, but he's safer this way. You're safer, too. Your brother is a dangerously unstable individual.
I know! But he's my dangerously unstable individual!
Lucas looked back at her.
We can help him. Lucas, we can help you. There's a scared little boy in there. I saw him, Lucas, running from the storm. You don't have to run anymore.
But I think you might.
I'm sorry?
Sick him!
What Dr. Amelia had forgotten was that Jovi Hart, as a child, had once run over a crow on her bike. As an effect of Lucas's power, she had been plagued by crows ever since he came back into her life. But, curiously, the situation seemed to be out of his control. They had, over time, adopted Jovi as one of their own. Crows are loyal. Crows don't forget. They weren't with Lucas anymore.
They're with me!
She chucked her bouquet in front of her, and the crows followed, attacking Dr. Amelia and the FBI in a blaze of avian glory.
They sound like my wife!
Ah, the wonders of nature! Revert against me once again!
Amidst the chaos, Price and Grimes let go of Lucas. But the SWAT officers held fast to Aisha, pulling her further away.
Lucas!
Lucas looked at her. And then he did what he knew best. He ran. He ran until... The SWAT team dogpiled on Jovi, tackling her to the ground. He froze in place.
Lucas, do something!
He just stood there, staring at Jovi. Aisha kicked and struggled as she was lifted into the helicopter.
Lucas! Spiders!
The sight of Jovi in danger had frightened Lucas to his core. A switch had flipped in his brain. Something had clicked. He admitted to himself something that he'd never admitted before. He needed to get over himself. The wind picked up, and the earth started to shake. Lucas turned to Aisha and yelled,
"Lizards!"
A cloud of snow formed on the mountain, coming down the slope fast. It was an avalanche, and it was Lucas's. In their panic, the SWAT team got off of Jovi. He helped her off the ground.
"Get the skis!"
Aisha wriggled free and grabbed her skis. She gave Amelia a wave.
"Bye, Amelia. Oh, fuck off."
The three of them ran to the altar, where the remaining skis were, and jammed them onto their feet.
"Come on!"
As the avalanche closed in on them, they began their descent down the slope back to Macho Man Ski Resort. Dr. Amelia got back in the helicopter, and Price and Grimes lifted Georgie inside after themselves. But it was too late to take off. As the snow approached, the FBI agents put their hands on their hearts and declared,
"We will die for our country! USA! 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 USA!"
Lucas, Jovi, and Aisha dodged falling trees and rocks on their way down the slope. They reached the bottom of the hill and ran, but there was no use. The wave of snow overtook them. And a hand shot up through the snow. It was Lucas. With great effort, he pulled himself out of the snow. He frantically searched until he saw a diamond ring sticking out of the snow. He pulled Jovi out, then Aisha. But there were more people to find. He made the mess, but this time he would stick around to clean it up. So he searched for anyone he could find. Wedding guests, SWAT officers, or members of Atomic Possum. And he kept searching until the paramedics arrived.
"For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny." Yeah!
Dave, reunited with his family at the base of the mountain, received a hero's welcome.
"Aw, guys.
You saved us all, Davey. Pop's proud of you."
"Dude, I guess I did kind of save the day."
"Dude! For he's a jolly good
fellow." Jovi, still wearing her tattered wedding dress, tapped him on the shoulder.
"Hey, let's go for a walk."
They strolled through the ruins of Jovi's ski resort, her baby she'd put so much of her life into. The sight of it nearly destroyed was almost a relief to her. No one could sue a pile of rocks.
Or house.
Jovi and Dave approached their cabin to find it leveled by a fallen pine, which had landed on their his-and-hers jacuzzi and split it in two.
It's kind of metaphorical, don't you think?
Our house is literally gone.
C'est la vie.
She had bigger things on her mind. Things that couldn't wait anymore.
Can I be honest?
Well, honesty is the best policy.
I can't do it. I can't be Jovi Cox.
That's okay. I can be Dave Hart. Because I got a big heart.
Yes, you do.
Got a big cox, too. Mm. Yo! Improv!
Dave.
She took his hand.
This isn't gonna work.
You gotta yes and it. That's the rule.
I think you know what I mean.
Can I be honest?
Yeah?
I do know what you mean. So, are you gonna go back to Steve?
I don't know yet. But, Dave, there's one more thing you should know about.
Wahoo!
When Dave returned to his family, he was grinning.
Dude! I'm gonna be a dad!
Dude!
But all isn't well. I lost my beautiful bride.
Dude, what happened?
This sucks majorly.
Not primo in our league.
No, like, she's still alive. But she wasn't making one of her jokes. I don't think we're getting married anymore. She was serious.
To love is to lose.
You're so smart, Grandma. I'm so glad you survived that freak heart attack.
Thanks, dude.
One more song for fatherhood.
All right. One more.
Yeah!
For
he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow.
Jovi slipped into the paramedic tent, one of many that had been set up in the aftermath of the avalanche. In a cot near the entryway was Steve, recently saved from the avalanche, shivering. Jovi held his hand and rubbed it between hers to warm it up.
Just give me an answer, Jovi.
I didn't want to be Jovi Cox.
Good. That's good. Cool. Happy for you. But what about...
Can I sit? I'm gonna sit. I'm gonna just sit down right now. I want to be with you. But you have to understand, it's not gonna be easy for either of us. I have problems. And I'm going through a breakup and debt. And statistically, especially with my abandonment issues, it's not very likely we're gonna make it. But I want to be with you. That's the deal. It's up to you now. And I'm going to leave and let you think about it.
She let go of his hands and found Lucas, all bandaged up on the other end of the paramedic tent. He sipped water from a little paper cup. As she pushed aside the flap, she groaned, alerting her brother of her presence.
Hey.
Hey. You ruined my wedding.
I ruined your wedding.
Good. We are on the same page that you ruined my wedding. You know, I'm not really surprised what the real power is, I mean.
No?
I kind of thought maybe that's what it was.
Do you want me to stick around anymore? I don't want to leave you again, but how are you supposed to trust me now?
I'm pregnant.
That's... That's amazing! Jovi, that's amazing! Hey, I was gonna do this at the wedding, but... Felicidades, Jovi!
Lucas, look!
An orange flower had grown out of the ground by Lucas's cot.
Did you just make that?
Buds started sprouting around them, blooming into more flowers.
Oh. I guess I'm doing that. That feels appropriate.
Jovi picked one and examined it.
You're not scared of flowers, are you?
No, I actually like them. Except for the bees.
Of course you're still afraid of bees.
Bees are scary.
Oh, no. It would be so scary if there was a bee right now.
You know that's not how it works in it. Oh, there's a bee. I made a bee.
Idiot.
In any conversation, there is a talker and there are listeners. And, right now, Lucas Hart finds himself squarely as a talker.
Hi, my name is Lucas, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lucas.
These days, Lucas has been getting help. Every Tuesday, at the Sobriety for Our Daughters group. Lucas, who hadn't quite mustered the courage to drive yet, carpooled with Aisha, who dropped him off, greeted the waiting room full of daughters, and headed off to her internship at a local private practice, where she put in the hours to get her license again. Aisha peeked into the meeting.
I've been sober for a while now. It's been hard, you know, not drinking, especially when you know it could make everything easier. But I gave it up. Alcohol. And honestly, I'm doing great.
Sober? Yesterday you won 3 scratch-off tickets.
And now I can pay you back for gas. See? I used it for good. The good ones don't count.
Get a job.
Progress isn't linear.
Don't therapize me.
During their drives, Lucas had been asking questions lately. They'd gone through approximately 45% of her life story. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And she was proud of him. After its destruction in the avalanche and subsequent declaration of bankruptcy, Macho Man Ski Resort had been bought out by a local competitor. Jovi didn't miss it. Taking some rare time for herself, she hit the responsibility-free slopes at the newly rebranded Burley Girl Ski Resort.
Incoming call. Steve Smith Lawyerman.
Hey, I'm thinking the baby should start trying to go gluten-free. I read that can help with brain fog. I don't want him to start falling behind in school.
Steve, the baby isn't starting school for a few years.
Sometimes he looks at me with not a single articulable thought behind his eyes. Not a single thought. I just want to know what he's thinking.
That's probably because he's thinking goo goo gaga. Listen, I'm at the top of a slope. Talk to you about gluten later.
Incoming call. Dad number one.
Hey, Dave.
Is the baby too young to watch Scream?
That's up to you, Dave. But don't tell Steve.
Baller.
Okay, Dave, I gotta go. I'll drop the baby off in a couple hours. Oh, hush, it's just a funny hill. Mama's gotta start her macho man young.
She fastened his goggles, tightened his carrier, and took off down the slope. Meanwhile, Dave poured himself a glass of orange juice, which Steve had recently dropped off, along with a whole bag of organic groceries to keep their shared child healthy while staying with Dad number one.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news on the condition of President Price.
Boring.
Getting ready for his biweekly custody with his son, Dave turned on some cartoons, partially for the baby, but mostly for himself. FBI Special Agent Price had in fact scored the Republican presidential nomination with Grimes, as an ultimatum from Braylon, as his running mate. They won the election, ultimately carried to victory by Price's vague promise to make crime illegal.
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what your country can do for me. Vice President Grimes!
Your coffee, Mr. President.
Grimes's sole duty as vice president was to deliver the president coffee. He served in quiet bitterness. Then Grimes discovered the 25th Amendment and set his plan into motion. Each and every morning, he picked up a coffee from a gas station convenience store in Georgetown, Price's favorite, because it inconvenienced Grimes. Until one day, in a meeting with the Secretary of Urban Housing and Development, one Georgie Jones, President Price collapsed.
Good Lord!
The 25th Amendment states that when the president is, for whatever reason, unable to discharge his powers and duties, the vice president immediately assumes office. President Price's guard was down. He'd never read the Constitution. What Price also didn't know was that every morning, Vice President Grimes added a little half and half, meaning the coffee was half coffee and half diesel pumped straight from the gas station, while his Secret Service detail looked the other way.
Sic semper tyrannis! I mean, bald eagle down!
I hurt a lot of people in my life, and I know I might hurt them again, but I'm there, and I'm trying.
Carl, the founder of Sobriety for Our Daughters and passenger on the plane Lucas had crashed so long ago, nodded sagely.
Thanks for your truth, man. And who do we do it for?
Our daughters.
Right. Yes, our daughters.
Let's end off as usual. The first step of recovery is admitting you have a problem. It's good to remind ourselves of this. No matter how far along we are in recovery, it's still true. So why don't we go around the room and repeat like so? I have a problem.
I have a problem.
I have a problem.
I have a problem.
What no one seemed to notice was that the world was becoming a slightly better place every day.
I have a problem.
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 And it was all Lucas's fault.
I have a problem.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave a comment, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. Don't Worry is created by me, Kiana Brizendine, written and directed by Kiana Brizendine, Liam Stauffer, and Rowan Levy, produced by Kiana Brizendine and Lisbeth Jackson, scored by Minar Hashmi, edited by Kyle Brizendine, Liam Stauffer, Rowan Levy, and Kiana Brizendine, and sound effects by Rowan Levy, and last but not least, assistant directed by Lucia Liflin and Bella Reese. Starring Benjamin Hale as narrator, Chase Wayne Duffy as Lucas, Kiana Brizendine as Joby,
Lucinda Setfin as Dr. Amelia,
Marissa Sillette as Aisha, Miles O'Rourke as Officer Price, Calvin Pineda as Officer Grimes, Rowan Levy as Georgie, Leo Riley as Steve, Asher Wright as Dave, Bryce Fody as Clark, Lucia Liflin as the Pulse Watch, Foster Dowd as SWAT team leader, and Neil Bhatia as Georgie's beautiful voice. And our translation consultants were Bridget White, Lucia Liflin, Yolan Brizendine, Sebastian Kaplan, Ishan Shaw, Bella Reese, and John Burns. And special thanks to Benjamin Hale, Brad Brizendine, and Thomas Mark.